Next on Gospel of Life, we will talk about the Christian power of protest. Hello, I'm Reverend Frank Pavone, Director of Gospel of Life Ministries. Welcome, brothers and sisters, to our program. Aside from our Associate Director, Janet Marana, who is usually with us, we have Reverend Peter West, one of our associates, with us to discuss today some important concepts, not only about his own journey, but about the power of protest. Father Peter, welcome.
Thank you, Father Frank.
Janet, good to be with you. First of all, of course, you work with us full-time in fighting abortion throughout the country. What sparked your interest in the pro-life movement and your determination to fight against abortion?
Well, it was in my early 20s, and I was beginning to come back to the practice of my faith, and developing a stronger relationship with Jesus Christ through daily Mass. And after the Mass one day, I was in the back of the church, and I was looking at pamphlets, as I usually would do. And I saw some pro-life literature there. And among the pro-life literature, there were pictures of aborted babies, some who were fully formed and thrown in the trash. And I was horrified by what I saw.
You had never seen it before.
Well, I may have, but I don't think it hit me the way that it hit me that day. Mm-hmm. I certainly wasn't exposed to them on a regular basis. And so what I saw was shocking. I had heard that, you know, various things like the baby was just a blob of tissue, and I thought that abortion was fairly rare and confined to poor people in the inner cities. But then I saw a chart showing how we lose more babies to abortion in 1 year than we've lost soldiers in all of our wars put together, from the Revolutionary War through the Vietnam War, but now even the current Iraq War. So this really, I felt that people in the age of, say, World War II, they would be willing to give their lives and sacrifice for the country. Mm-hmm. So I began to think that it would not be too great a sacrifice for God to ask me to give my life to put an end to abortion, just as soldiers would have done in defense of their country. Mm-hmm. And I really felt that abortion is destroying the foundations of what is good about America.
You know, in prior programs, we've spoken about the power of the images, of seeing what abortion is. And Father Peter's story just really proves once again that nothing converts more people to being pro-life, you know, or to doing something about it than seeing what abortion really is. So, I mean, I really think we should challenge people who are watching right now to go to our Gospel of Life website, where we have a full gallery of these images, gospeloflife.com/images. And because if it could convert you, like you said, there's many other people out there. And I know we get emails all the time about people who look at those images and are converted.
I really believe it was a moment of grace, and it was as if scales fell off my eyes, and I was able to see the abortion horror for what it really was. Where for many years, I missed it, I can kind of identify with people in our society today, who miss it, because I was, in a sense, like them, for a time.
Yeah. So now you saw the pictures. What happened next? I mean, you said I had to get involved. How did you get involved?
Well, it was a gradual process that I think led to the priesthood. But first of all, what I did was I called Essex County Right to Life, which was the number that was on the brochures of these pro-life literature, and I asked how I could get involved, and they invited me to their meetings and also invited me out to do some sidewalk counseling, prayerful witness in front of an abortion clinic, where I did my best to try to dissuade women from having abortions.
You did, in fact, along the course of doing that have the experience of actually saving lives, and that those are great experiences, aren't they?
Yes, yes. But most of the time, when I was able to convince a woman not to go through with an abortion, it was because she walked into my office as a priest, and she was looking for counseling and support, and almost as if she was looking for permission to have an abortion.
Yes.
And I explained very gently but forcefully that abortion was the taking of an innocent human life and that it was totally contrary to God's law, but that there are other ways of dealing with this problem other than abortion.
Yes.
I remember one case, the woman was about 40 years old, and she was in a relationship that broke up. This man was now getting married to another woman. And she felt that the best way to get on with her life would be to have an abortion. But I was able to show her, over the course of about a week, to show her different things about like the stages of the development of the unborn child and to show how her abortion was going to harm her. I wasn't sure what she was going to do. At times I thought maybe she had gone for the abortion. The boyfriend had given her a blank check to use for the abortion. He wanted nothing to do with the child, and he was pressuring her to have an abortion. Finally, I helped her out financially, and then also as she was worried that the worrying that she was doing throughout this pregnancy would have an effect health-wise on the child. So I took her to the hospital because I knew this fear was unfounded. She saw the baby on an ultrasound. When she saw the baby on the ultrasound, she realized that she couldn't go through with that abortion.
Yeah.
And I had the privilege of baptizing that little baby boy.
Isn't that excellent?
And he's about 9 years old today.
Yeah, it's a wonderful thing. So there's various aspects here, obviously, of our response to abortion. One is the compassionate care, the attentive concern, like you just explained, for the people tempted to do this terrible evil. And at the very same time, and not in contradiction to that, there is the church standing up in protest against the evil, and in a prophetic challenge to those who are permitting this killing to go on. Mm-hmm. And let's talk about how that works, because it is. Some people look at this as either or, you know, either we're nice, caring people who will, you know, embrace these individuals who are in these terrible situations. Either that or we will be prophets like John the Baptist and go out there and confront the evil. But really, it's both and, isn't it?
Right. Just as a father, if he truly loves his child, will discipline that child, but also have times of showing warm and tender love toward that child as well. So, yes, we have to confront evil just as Christ confronted evil when he drove the money changers out of the temple, or when John the Baptist in Matthew chapter 14, verse 4, he told Herod, it's not right for you to live with your brother's wife, and he was imprisoned because of that.
Yes.
Now, because of the laws in the United States, we have freedom of speech. We can go out in front of these abortion clinics. We don't have to worry about getting arrested for exercising our First Amendment rights. And so the sacrifices that we're really called to make are really not so great as when in the past when people were called to confront similar injustices in our society, such as confronting the issue of slavery, or when people sheltered Jewish people during the Holocaust, certainly the consequences for them were much more great. But nevertheless, they were called to make that sacrifice.
Yes.
And we all we have to do is sacrifice some time, there may be some period of rest and relaxation, in order for us to go and confront the greatest evil of our times, which is abortion, which takes 1.3 million lives each year, approximately 3,700 every day.
And it's natural for people when they hear those overwhelming statistics to say, all right, I'm ready, let me do something. or when they see those pictures. I remember when we were out exercising those First Amendment rights on a boardwalk in Ocean City. Mm-hmm. Remember when that religious sister joined us?
Yeah.
She was in a wheelchair on oxygen. Mm-hmm. And still, she insisted on coming out, holding a sign, and another woman behind her, you know, rolling the wheelchair. And I looked at that and I said, what a marvelous example here, you know, of strength of spirit, despite the frailties of the body, to say, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to confront this evil.
And I always think also of the little girl who helped to convert Norma McCorvey by the name of Emily, and how Emily told Norma that what she was doing, working in an abortion clinic, was wrong, but she would also invite her to come to church with her and her family.
Yes.
And how eventually Norma accepted that invitation. She joined little Emily and her family to go to church, and when the minister called people forward to accept Jesus Christ into their hearts, Norma McCorvey, the Jane Roe of Roe vs. Wade, accepted Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior on that day through the intercession of a little seven-year-old girl.
Now, you, of course, with our work together, the three of us and those who work with us, we're traveling the nation all the time. What are some of the experiences you've had out on the road with the power of Christian protest and some of the experiences that you've been part of?
Well, one of the things that drew me, one of the things I think was instrumental in my coming to Priests for Life was a protest that I took part in outside Sacred Heart Basilica in Newark when Governor Whitman was present at that basilica and was having an interfaith inaugural prayer service. I thought it was wonderful to have an interfaith inaugural prayer service, but I thought that we were honoring a woman who was the chief supporter of partial birth abortion in the state of New Jersey. She had just vetoed a bill which would have banned partial birth abortion. So I thought we were sending mixed messages. And while they had an interfaith prayer service inside the basilica, we had one outside.
Uh-huh.
And I invited the Reverend Dean Gavaris, who was a Protestant minister in New Jersey, very prominent in the pro-life movement, to join us. And I also invited Rabbi Yehuda Levin from Brooklyn, who came out.
He also
joined us as well.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, he's not afraid of anybody.
So we prayed on the outside as they were praying inside, but we were praying. Our prayers were for in defense of life, that life would be respected and protected at all stages of development.
Well, how about if people say to you, well, you're disrupting this, you know, this is a church, why are you doing this? And people will, what do you say in response to those kind of complaints?
Well, you know, the church is called to confront evil and not simply paper over it. It is our responsibility as prophets in our society to denounce evil. And the churches, it's especially scandalous that churches would give the impression that they were any way in support of this evil or didn't recognize it as the great evil that it really is.
Right.
So
right.
I think it's important for us to raise our voices. And it's part of our witness as Christians. That's what I would say. It's our duty to speak up in defense of those who cannot speak for themselves.
The famous story about sing a little louder comes to mind, doesn't it?
It does.
Remind our viewers of that.
Well, it's the story of during the Nazi in the Holocaust. There people were singing in the church as the trains were rolling by, taking the people off to the gas chamber, and they kept singing louder so that they wouldn't hear the sounds of the train or the train whistle, or knowing full well what was going to happen to those people. They ignored it. But, you know, I was just curious, you know, as a clergyman, going out like that, praying and protesting and leading other people in protest, did you get other criticism from other pastors saying, you know, why don't you mind your own business? Stay in the pulpit. What are you bringing your message out here to the streets? Have you ever gotten that, you know, kind of criticism from other priests or pastors?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I think didn't Martin Luther King get the same type of protest? And that is why he wrote his famous letter from a Birmingham jail in defense of what he was doing in bringing attention to the issue of segregation.
That's and right. It was a letter from clergymen to him.
That's right.
That prompted his response.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, it sounds like then you're following a good example, right?
I like to think so.
It awakens the community too, doesn't it? I've always thought that one of the big problems with abortion is that life goes on business as usual while it's taking place. And it's taking place behind the scenes. People don't see the violence of it. If they saw the violence of it, there would be an uproar. So the protest out on the public streets, always in an orderly and peaceful way, of course. We always strongly oppose any kind of violence. But in an orderly and peaceful protest, people driving by who not on their own are going to necessarily think of these issues or engage these issues, see a group of people and they say, first thing that comes to their mind is, say, what's going on? What's wrong? What are these people protesting about? And it causes people to inquire. If the people protesting also are holding signs that explain why they're protesting, well, then you've gotten the attention of the community. And do you find that it also generates a lot of media attention?
Yes, sure. You would imagine, our protest in front of the Basilica generated some media attention, and then also I was involved in another case with Governor McGreevy, who has since left office, but because of a relationship that he was having with another man that broke up his marriage, but he also was a supporter of partial birth abortion, and he was the Grand Marshal of the St. Patrick's Day Parade. Mm. And then they had a reception for him at a Catholic school. I thought this was another scandal, and I felt the need to confront this. And Edmund Burke, the English statesman, said, all that is necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. So We have a responsibility, not just to let, as you say, business as usual, carry on business as usual. No, we have to confront this evil.
Yes.
And not we're treating abortion as we're not treating it as what it really is. It's the killing of the unborn, our brothers and sisters, and we have a duty to speak for them.
Well, thank you for speaking in that way and encouraging others too. To come out and to protest in accordance with our First Amendment rights. And, of course, you've been involved in much of that, and thank you for that witness as well. Brothers and sisters, together, let us proclaim the gospel of Christ. Let us, as he said, be the salt of the earth, the light of the world, not under a bushel basket, not confined to the walls of the church, but out in public. Stay with us now for our action segment.
When I found out I was pregnant, I thought I would lose my job.
My boyfriend told me to choose between him and the baby.
I worried about staying in school.
I was already struggling to care for one child.
My parents told me I wasn't ready to be a mom, so I had an abortion.
I had physical problems afterwards.
I went from relationship to relationship.
I hated myself.
I started to have nightmares.
I cried when I saw a pregnant woman.
I tried to commit suicide.
I couldn't bond with the child I later had.
I tried to numb my pain with alcohol.
I struggled with depression.
I had trouble conceiving again.
You see, abortion didn't solve our problems.
It just created different ones.
Each of us thought we were the only ones struggling afterward.
Now we realize many women regret their choice.
That's why we are silent no more.
We found help in healing, and you can too. Call or go online today.
Do you realize that every 23 seconds a baby is killed by legal abortion in this country? But you know, you can do something to save those lives. At Gospel Life Ministries, we have a bulletin insert called You can save someone's life today, and we make this available absolutely free for your church. And it doesn't matter how many bulletins you print. Suppose you print 1,000, 2,000, we'll send it to you free. And in this insert, you can save someone's life today, are the resources that you need to reach out and help a girl. Suppose you hear of a girl who's pregnant and in need. We have the hotline numbers where that girl can receive help right in her own community. And we're talking about medical expenses paid, a place to live if necessary, job opportunities. She doesn't have to feel that her only way is to go to an abortion mill. And also, if you know someone who is hurting from an abortion, we want to bring them back to the healing and mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in this bulletin insert are the ministries there, toll-free numbers that are waiting in open arms to receive her back to help and healing. And in addition, you can inform your church community about facts about abortion. And then finally, you can get involved. You can help us and join hands in saving those lives, because in this bulletin insert are action items so that everybody can help save a life today. Thank you. Call us at our toll-free number.
Prayer is essential to everything we do as Christians. The Lord Jesus said, "Without me, you can do nothing." That's why we at Gospel of Life have launched a national prayer campaign to end abortion. We've composed a simple prayer that you can say each and every day. And that prayer is available at prayercampaign.org on the internet. You can say this prayer with your family. You can bring it to your pastor. Some pastors, in fact, have placed this prayer in the church bulletin or on the inside of their parish hymnals. In whatever way you can promote this prayer, you'll be adding more and more believers to this great campaign to ask the Lord to bring an end to abortion in America and to commit ourselves to do what He wants us to do to achieve that goal. Join the National Prayer Campaign to End Abortion at prayercampaign.org. Thank you.
I'm Dr. Paul Shank. Gospel of Life Ministries, Priests for Life, and the National Pro-Life Action Center are ready, willing, and able to come to your church, conference, convention, prayer group, Sunday school, or pro-life event. Dynamic, seasoned, and experienced speakers, teachers, and presenters are available. Renowned leaders such as Father Frank Pavone, National Director of Priests for Life and President of the National Pro-Life Religious Council, Dr. Alveda King, the niece of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and Janet Morana, Associate Director of Priests for Life and co-founder of the Silent No More Awareness Campaign, together with pastoral associates Dr. Teresa Burke, the founder of Rachel's Vineyard, and her husband Kevin Burke, counselor and social worker, Jim Pinto, pro-life pioneer, and our clergy, Reverend Dennis Wilde, Reverend Peter West, and Reverend Walter Quinn, are prepared to preach and teach in your church about how to end the tragedy of abortion, minister to those suffering from abortion, help train and organize your pro-life group, lead retreats, and much, much more. To schedule a speaker in your area, call the Speakers Bureau at 888-735-3448, extension 258, or email us at speakers@gospelOfLife.com. The waiting is over. The time for action is now. Schedule an inspiring speaker for your area.
Welcome to our action segment. I'm joined by Janet Morana, our associate director. Janet, there are many things that people can do for pro-life, but on this action segment, we're going to talk about the call that God gives to many people to devote themselves on a full-time basis to fighting abortion. Now, this full-time call can come in many ways, but sometimes it starts with a temporary commitment to work for a pro-life organization.
That's right. And we here at Gospel of Life, we very often rely on people coming to us looking for full-time work. Very often on our website, we'll have job descriptions up there, and we just invite people to send us their resume with some references, and perhaps we might be able to employ them in the near future. But not just Gospel of Life, but there are other organizations in the pro-life movement that are very often hungry and thirsty for people who are professionals, but then want to set that profession aside to do full pro-life work. I myself have done that. I was a New York City public school teacher for 12 years, and I know I was volunteering for Gospel of Life all those years while I was teaching, but then I came to a crossroads, and maybe some of our viewers might be at that point where you feel you can't juggle both. But the burning desire to do something about abortion let me put my teaching career on hold and now jump in, launch in full-time for Gospel of Life.
Well, we also have interns in the summertime.
That's
Tell
right.
us about that.
You know, very often we have college students that look for an internship program, both at Gospel of Life and I know other organizations like National Ride to Life. We hire summer interns. Around the time of spring break, you know, by then, students usually know have made their summer plans or are about to make them. So we're looking for students to send an application to us for a possible internship. They'd send a resume, again, with references. They would have to come to our headquarters, which is in New York, for an internship for the summer.
When you look at the pro-abortion organizations, and NOW and NARAL and Planned mm-hmm. Parenthood and all these various groups, you're talking about groups that have full-time paid professionals working to kill babies. And yet those that are working to save babies are often just doing it on a part-time basis because they're juggling their full-time job, whatever it might be, and their other responsibilities. This is why it's so important for people to really look at the possibility of stepping away from their full-time job and working full-time for the pro-life movement.
That's right. You know, they would not believe the satisfaction you get from this work. I myself know, as much as I adored teaching, I love doing that, this work has brought more fulfillment to my life to know that I'm basically taking a role that others won't do. My teaching job was easily filled when I left it, but there's not people lined up around the block to come and work for Gospel of Life, you know?
The thing that people have to understand is the pro-life movement is so vast and so varied that no matter what their career skills and their
right.
background, there's a place for them in this movement.
That's right.
We have, there's the legal dimension, the medical dimension, the scientific dimension, the religious dimension, sociological, psychological, alternatives to abortion, post-abortion healing. We've got the need for architects, for plumbers, for electricians. There's the pregnancy centers that are being built. There are other institutions being built and maintained. We need PR people, business people, media people. Every possible angle, there is a place for you somewhere in the pro-life movement. And we will assist also in helping people to find their place in the movement.
That's right.
And to connect them with different groups. And sometimes it's a process of discernment that may go on for many years. All we're asking today is take the next small step forward. Don't be afraid just to raise the question and just to start looking.
That's right.
To see what's available.
In your prayers this week, you might ask the Lord to show you what he might have in store for you. You know, very often, if you ask, you're going to get an answer.
Absolutely. Well, I have no doubt, brothers and sisters, that some of you are being called to full-time involvement in the pro-life movement. Let us know if you feel that call. We'll help you say yes. And support us at Gospel of Life. We rely on your donations. And we also thank our friends at Life Dynamics for their help in making their studios available for us to make these programs. Let's work and pray together for the culture of life and join us next week on Gospel of Life.
I'm Dr. Paul Shank, and I hope you've been encouraged and challenged today. If you and others you know, perhaps a prayer group, Bible study, Sunday school, or pro-life group, want to know more about Gospel of Life and how people of faith united together can build the culture of life, call us at 888-735-3448. Visit us on the web at www.gospeloflife.com or email us at info@gospelOfLife.com. You can write to us at Gospel of Life, P.O. Box 60038, Staten Island, New York, 10306.